Macmillan Audio presents Assassin's Code by Ward Larson. Read for you by P.J. Oakland. One. To be a day short of one's 15th birthday is a characteristically happy time in a young man's life. Considerably less so when there is no chance whatsoever of reaching it. He was sitting alone in the back seat of a rattletrap Citroën. Malika was in front, and next to her, a man named Nassim was driving. He knew why she was in that seat. He would have been there too, had their situations been reversed. His identity documents alleged him to be Youssef Aboud, and after 6 months of use, the name almost seemed real. His true name was Jalil. But that, like so much else, had fallen to a distant memory. They'd insisted he use the new identity exclusively, beginning the day he had left home, all throughout his travels, and even after he was established in the safe house in Paris. They'd told him it was a manner of training. If he became Youssef Aboud, he would be less inclined to make a mistake under the duress of a roadblock or border crossing. There had been a great many of those since last summer. His first journey had taken him from Gaza to Syria, and after a month in Raqqa, onward to Turkey and Greece. Then came a surprise detention on the island of Lesbos, and eventually he'd been shipped back to a Turkish refugee camp along the porous Syrian border. It reminded him of the child's game Chutes and Ladders. 3 steps forward, 2 steps back. The second time they put him on a plane to Budapest, where he was interned for nearly a month before being hauled back to Turkey on a bus. It was the southern route that succeeded. Turkey to Macedonia, followed by a leaky boat to Italy, and finally France. It was strange, he thought, how much persistence had been necessary to arrive where he was today, at the most foreseeable of all ends.
"We are nearly there, Youssef," said Malika. "My name isn't Youssef," he mumbled.
"What?"
"Nothing," replied Jalil,
his blank gaze pinned out the window. The day was cold and gray, which seemed predestined. Minutes ago, they'd passed a great industrial complex, and Nassim had said something about it being the place where France did its research on nuclear weapons. He might have been trying to lighten the mood, or maybe distract Jalil. There was little chance of either. A second car was trailing behind them, although Jalil couldn't see it. 3 men with AK-47s, who would go to work in the aftermath. A 4-minute delay, long enough for the smoke to clear and the crowds to start gathering. He shifted in his seat, the vest heavy on his shoulders. They'd made him wear a mock-up around the safe house in recent days, a duplicate item filled with sand. He'd tried to get used to walking with something near a normal motion. Today he wore a thick coat over the vest, the liner removed to make room. It all suited the day perfectly. As they neared town, a light snow began to fall, and for the first time since waking, Jalil thought of something other than his fate. He'd not seen snow since he was very young, and he marveled at the flurries of white whisking past his window. He used a button to run down the window, and a few flakes whirled inside.
"What are you doing?"
Malika snapped.
"Nothing," he replied. "I only wanted some air."
Silence fell for a time, until Nassim said,
"You should pray one last time."
"I will," Jalil lied.
He had been praying constantly for the last 2 days, or so it seemed. They told him it would be easier that way. Help him.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?